You suck, Chris.
Are you ready for some meatballs?
We've got baseball, we've got football, we've got presidential debates. Actually, no, we're not going to talk about the debates. I did not watch, was not interested, and I did check in on Twitter, though, every few minutes while I was doing some work around the house, and it looked like the debate turned out to be the dumpster fire that so many of us expected it to be. So, thank goodness for leaves that need to be raked and branches that need to be collected. That gave me a good reason to not even be tempted to try to watch the first debate. So, anyway, thank goodness for sports, too. I'm glad that we've got this distraction that can... I've talked to some friends who've feel like they can't watch sports anymore. It's like, what's the point? Doesn't seem to be important with bigger stuff going on. And I totally get that. I totally respect that perspective. I don't have that perspective, and I'm willing to concede that it is a weakness on my part. That I am not mature enough or considerate enough to not look at sports and be like, oh, what's the point? So, personally, for me, I need it. I appreciate the distraction. So, in this distraction, I've got one team in the playoffs, though maybe not for long, and the other team, which is 3-0 and tied for first place in the division, even though they have, you know, a much... They don't look as good as the other team that's 3-0. I'll just put it that way. And also, how many teams, and I want to bring this up with Mark later when we preview the Bears-Colts game, how many teams can you remember that went 3-0 and switched starting quarterbacks? I mean, I can't think of a time that that's ever happened. Normally, it's, you know, you're 0-3, you got to switch quarterbacks, or 1-2. I don't even know if I can remember, like, a 2-1 start where they're like, oh, you know what, we got to switch the quarterback. So to be 3-0, how perfect is that? For the Bears, they haven't lost the game yet, even though they're making a big change at quarterback. And some sports analysts that I consume their content are very optimistic. Like, finally, Matt Nagy's got the quarterback that can fit his system, that can run his system, and we're going to see more offense. So, based on that, I'm picking the Bears to win this week too. Put up more points than they have this year. But I'll get into that with Mark more later. So thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Meatball Composer. And let's get going. The Cubs dropped their first game to the Marlins 5-1 the other day. Yesterday, I guess. I'm recording Thursday right now. So they're supposed to play game two today, but there was scheduled rain or forecasted rain. Maybe not scheduled. You can't really schedule rain. You're going to come down at this time. We don't have that technology yet. But a couple of things going on here. One, yeah, losing a game that Hendricks starts, that hurts, and you don't expect it. But a couple of things that make it hurt worse. Number one, this is a best of three series, which in anyone who's capable of listening to this podcast has never seen before. We've never had less than a 5-game series in the postseason for, you know, the last century, as far as I know. So having this is like a regular, in the middle of the regular season series, best of three, you know. Game one, game two, game three could be the rubber game, as they call it. But that adds a whole new dimension of tension. And because, like, oh my gosh, if they lose one more, that's it. They're done. Had they lost the first game of a 5-game series, I'd be like, ah, yeah, that that stinks. But you know, still they got to win two more. Cubs got to win three. There's time. But man, just all so much pressure on tomorrow, on game two. Just add to that the fact that it's the Marlins. Now that it rationally, objectively, it shouldn't matter. Shouldn't make a difference. But it's the Marlins. And 17 years ago, 2003, the Cubs had their famous NLCS collapse against the Marlins, which became a national story, even more than baseball, because of the fan interference, supposedly, by who we found out later to be Steve Bartman. And that story just has not died since then. A lot of people still like to bring it up. I got a friend back in Chicago who still blames Bartman for 2003, which I think is, you know, beyond ridiculous. But he's one of these Cub fans that's also a Packers fan. So, you know, I got to understand that, you know, the synapses aren't all firing there. So I got to give him, you know, a break for that. Got cheese clogging the brain. So, yeah, need to cut my friends some slack. But anyway, so the fact that it's a short series and it's the Marlins just raises the tension on this so much. And every Cub fan I've been able to talk to, either online or a couple I know in that I bump into on around where I'm living now, saying the same thing. Why does it have to be the Marlins? Why is it the Marlins? I'm having flashbacks from the Marlins. I mean, it has nothing to do with this. If you look at it just rationally, but, you know, Cubs fans, we have a little problem with that. Always have. So, could they could absolutely win tomorrow with Yu Darvish. They should win with him on the mound. He's been Cy Young caliber all year. I can't believe the bats are going to be ineffective again. Although, ever since the World Series, their offense is kind of sputtered in the postseason. They barely squeaked by the Nationals in 2017 in the first round. And ever since then, just not much offense in the postseason. But I just think they got to snap out of it. Towards the end of the last few games of the regular season, they were finally hitting the ball, putting up runs. And the Cubs team has always been like this. Even back in 2015, when they beat the Cardinals in the NLDS 3-1 and were hitting the ball hard and looking great, and then they got swept by the Mets. They looked horrible in that NLCS. And then 2016, they win 103 games, but along the way they went through a stretch that they lost 15 of 20. And then they got shut out twice by the Dodgers, I believe, in the NLCS in 2016. Still came back to win 4-2. And in the World Series, you know, the famous coming back 3-1 to come back and win. So the Cubs, these Cubs, this incarnation of the Cubs, this is what they do. They don't hit well. They look terrible. And then they'll come out and put up 8 or 10 all of a sudden. And that could very well happen tomorrow. And then game three, if they do win and they get to game three, they could get shut out again. Or they could put up 12. We just don't know with this Cubs team. And this group of guys, this core of guys with Rizzo and Bryant and Schwarber, you know, and it's just always been like the Baez, you know. These four guys that's how they've always been. It's just in 2016 it came together and clicked. In the other years that it was not able to. So I guess all that to say is, even though I am irrationally scared about the Cubs not being able to win, that irrationality is built into the fact that it's the Marlins and it is a best of three series. So, I mean, how many times would the Cubs come back and win 2 out of 3? You know, all the time in this last year. They're a pretty decent team. So, and then having said that, I could see them getting shut out tomorrow too. That's just, yeah, and it's got nothing to do with luck or, you know, there's no quote-unquote curse anymore because they won the World Series. It's just that these guys, they've always been home run or bust. That's just how they've always been. And that's how they'll be tomorrow. And that's how they'll be game three. And if they keep advancing, that's how they'll be in those series. Feast or famine. That's how they've always been. naturally, of course. I hope they pulled it out and win. Back in a few with Mark to talk about the Bears-Colts. Stay right there.
Hello, my friend.
How's it going, sir?
Oh, it's going. It's been a crazy week, but it's going.
Yeah. I have to ask, how are your Cardinals doing right now?
They are up 4-0 in the third.
Really?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so those of you listening, Mark is jumping on the show while his Cardinals are playing a playoff game. Is that commitment or what?
It's commitment.
Sir, I am honored.
Yes, well, I am my priorities humbled. Are in the appropriate place.
Well, I would agree. Yeah. Man, my Cubbies couldn't get more than one run in game one.
And then they postponed a game. I was told it was perfectly fine weather in Chicago today.
I think it started raining around what would have been the sixth inning is what I heard.
I think baseball just wants a game on tomorrow when nothing's going on.
Yeah,
a little suspicious is all.
Pretty decent market, Cubs. So yeah, and the White Sox were eliminated a little bit ago.
Good young roster.
I had to tell my son. I saw him. He's like, oh.
So it'll be all right.
Anyway.
But so were the Reds, who did not score a run.
Oh, you know what? If the Cubs can win two against the Marlins, they could score 10 runs and then 12 or none. I don't know. Yeah. You never know with these Cubs. You never have known since even the World Series year. But if they do advance, I am so glad the Reds are out because they could not hit Trevor Bauer towards the end there.
Well, Bauer had one of the all-time great playoff starts, if you can call this the playoffs, and they still didn't beat the Braves that game.
Hey, couldn't score a run. You got to score.
Yeah.
At least last I checked.
I believe so. Hey, real quick, this Twins thing is just unbelievable to me.
Okay.
They have lost 18 straight playoff games.
Oh,
I didn't realize playoff that. Teams are good enough that you don't expect them to lose 18 straight, no matter who they're playing.
So that's
what? Crazy.
Three. So 6 years,
something-ish like that.
Six playoff runs, because the first round's always three,
or it used to be.
Well, except this year.
Yeah.
This year's two, but yeah. Wow.
Not even one game. I just find that to be totally wild. So, this is a baseball podcast. All right, let's go.
Right. Yeah.
Baseball, let's see. What else can we finagle our way around in baseball? I'm just kidding. How about the Broncos-Jets game, man? Let's kick off the week in exciting fashion. No, I'm not going to watch that at all. Are you kidding me?
The get Matt Gase, what's his name?
The
Gase.
Former
Adam Gase.
Coordinators
Adam
battle. Gase. Oh, I'm a terrible Bears fan. Now I have to watch it. I didn't even think about
it. Oh, you're
that.
Right. It's the 2015 assistant coaches.
Do we need
head to head?
Do we need to root against Vic so he can get fired and come back to us? Come back.
Maybe.
Come to the bosom, Vic. Come here.
Yeah. Poor Vic.
Yeah. Anyway.
But that's not why you're here. You're here to talk to me about why the Colts are gonna lose to the beloved. This coming Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about the game.
All right, fine.
So can I start with something that's more big picture for just a second?
Since you're skipping your Cardinals, dictate
the flow of the conversation. On with them on, but
you're okay. Not able to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
Should I feel bad that I feel much less angst maybe or anxiousness about this game since Mitch is not starting? I think I've spent so much energy trying to figure out what he is and not jump to conclusions and trying to push back against the R's are huge bust narrative. What he is totally inconsistent. That's what he is. That I'm like, I feel like I might, even if they lose, just enjoy the game more because I'm like, it's just Nick Foles. Nick Foles is probably better, and Nick Foles, I don't have anything riding on Nick Foles. It's done. And I feel like almost relief. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel weird about it because we should be like, crap, our draft pick is no longer the starter. But I'm just so sick of it all that I think it's kind of nice and a little bit more relaxing, maybe.
Till I the can game totally starts, see that.
And then I'll be in
there. Or of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how many teams could go 3-0 and then change their starting quarterback?
It's pretty hilarious.
How many times does that happen?
It reminds me of a great Reddit post. It was like, Mitch Trubisky has a chance to be the only undefeated starting QB this year.
Wow.
If he doesn't start another game, which I find unlikely because of Foles' injury history. But, yeah, he would be undefeated on the season.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe Foles would last the whole year. He's got, like, separated shoulder coming or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just he's going to take hits for sure. Mm-hmm. But of course, Mitch would have lost that game. So, I mean, it's kind of the joke is a little disingenuous, but it's still funny to me.
I don't know. We didn't get to see him in the fourth quarter. I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, I'm kidding. I
think it's probably not happening twice. Okay, so Bears Colts. What are you thinking?
Colts. Well, maybe I'm, you know, just being a little too meatball-y here, but I think they win, and I think they win in a. In a more convincing fashion than they have yet this year. Each win has been what, 4 points?
Yeah, and 4 points. Stressful.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little more. Let me lead with this though. It's not going to be like a trouncing 42-10 kind of thing like that. You know, although I think some Bears fans do because Nick Foles is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, therefore he's amazing.
Yeah,
therefore,
boy, we sure turned Nick Foles into Joe Montana quickly this week, didn't some of us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go 31-21 Bears over the Colts. Okay. Because I think they're going to get to Phillip Rivers, and he'll have a lot of garbage time yards towards the end, but I think they will keep him out of the end zone. Except for those 3 touchdowns they scored.
Well, those can all go through the running back. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. I really don't like the matchup as well as I liked Atlanta. And obviously, I was so dead on accurate with the Atlanta matchup being in the Bears' favor. That's why they were down 26-10 with 6 minutes to play. So clearly, I'm an expert. But their O-line scares me because of how bad the run D has been in spots this year and how bad Trevathan looks specifically. And we don't have a nose tackle. Like, they're trying to pretend Bilal Nichols is a nose tackle, and it's not particularly effective. So they worry me because I worry about their line and their run game. But I think it'll be closer than you do. And I'm really tempted to just go ahead and pick the Colts because I don't like the matchup there. But then I look at the rest of their roster, and I'm like, okay, their defense is statistically really good, but everyone who plays the Jets looks like a great defense right now.
Uh-huh.
So they did beat the ever-loving heck out of them like you're supposed to when you play a terrible team.
Yeah,
And they've played the same crappy slate the Bears have played, essentially, right? Their opponents are also 1-8. And one of the ones is beating them. So, like, are we playing the Colts to play the Jaguars, or are we playing the Colts to play the Jets? Well, I think the Bears are obviously much better than the Jets, so I think the Bears can win a pretty close game with the defenses being better than the respective offenses in both cases, as long as the Bears actually stop the run. And I think Rivers is going to give them a couple.
Who would have thought stopping the run was going to be an issue for the Bears?
Like, well, some people, you know? I guess, after Goldman opted out, but I mean, I think we have to admit that they have not looked good ever since AP in the first week at stopping the run. And, you know, the Giants lose their star running back, and then the Falcons basically refused to commit to the run, but their backup was gashing the Bears anyway.
Yeah.
So that part worries me, but I'll still take the Bears to win a close one, and I'll say 27. Foles at the helm, they'll still score some, even though this is a better D, to 23, which is kind of a repeat of earlier games. But I think the other thing that is interesting here is I don't know that the Colts have played a secondary as good as the Bears. Rivers is turnover prone, and so that's what I'm kind of pinning my hopes on.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely the best defense and best team the Bears have played in 2020.
That is true.
So I could really see it going either way.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, when I looked up the team stats today, to see the Colts, their number one defense in terms of points allowed, Number one, mm-hmm. yards per game, and that's the yards allowed per game is generally the stat used to rank the defenses. So they're number one mm-hmm. there and there. They're also number one against the pass.
Yep. So, and that's part of that's because they played the Jets. And then Kirk Cousins was terrible when he played them.
Uh-huh. But because of that, the number one against the pass, I think this is a good game for Jimmy Graham because of the system that the Bears are running, the KC tight end heavy system. And I think we might have a Komet sighting or two because of that.
I would hope so. Well, I mean, Leonard is really good. I don't know much else about their linebackers, and I know they've always played really well up front the last couple years. And they added the guy from the Niners, Buckner. So this is definitely a tall task for the Bears, but I just think Rivers is still Rivers, and I feel like they had him beat last time he was in Soldier Field, and they screwed it up, and they'll get him this time. But I don't feel great about it. In all honesty, I feel like they're going to split the next two games because they're both against quality opponents, but also opponents they can beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't figure out which one to pick them to win.
Gotcha.
Because you could easily say, based on my silly logic there, that, well, Brady on short rest at 43 may not be so hot Thursday next week. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But
yeah,
as long as if they come out of there, these two games, 4-1 going into Carolina, right, they'll be still in really nice shape.
Mm-hmm.
So
how much better are the Packers than the Bears right now?
Quite a bit.
Sure seems like it, doesn't it?
I'm waiting for them to come back to earth because, again, I still think they were so flukish with the 13. That was really like a 10-win team last year. But they seem to be really well coached. Rodgers is in, you know, hussy mode, so he's just like killing everybody because he's all ticked off. Aaron Jones is the best pure runner probably in the league, him and Derrick Henry. Now I'd take Kamara and McCaffrey as all-around backs, but Aaron Jones is real good.
Yeah.
And they seem to block well. I mean, they handled the Saints D just fine.
Yeah, you know, you bring that game up. Maybe the Saints aren't that good.
I know. Now I'm like looking at like, okay, maybe we Bears can they beat the Saints? I was kind of assuming that one was a loss, you know. I don't know. But Green Bay looks like they're right there with Seattle for best team in the conference. And then you look at Seattle's games and you're like, actually their defense looks pretty bad.
Mm.
So I don't want Green Bay to be the best team in the conference, but they're playing as well as anybody.
Yeah, they sure are.
But if the Saints aren't that good and the Vikings are terrible, then they've played the bad Vikings, the bad Lions, and what's going on with the Saints. So maybe we could dial it down a notch too. See, I can kind of look at that each way, but I think they're definitely just like the Bears with the 3-0 start. They're sitting pretty, and they're probably better mm-hmm. just because of the QB until we see more from Nagy Foles combo.
Yeah, until the Bears can actually beat Green Bay.
How about
I can't pick them ahead.
Yeah, and I think people get all mad at the lack of national respect. I mean, come on, we had a historic two comeback wins that like never happens that way twice in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And we've changed QBs, so there's a serious question about what that will look like in the long run. It looked great against the Falcons, which, well, everyone looks great against the Falcons. So I think Foles is going to play better, don't get me wrong, but I can see why national pundits are like, hold on, and then they're like, and they got to beat Green Bay. And I think that's basically accurate. Like, you go and you beat Green Bay, and you show that you got the same talent record and everything as they do, and you actually take them down in one of the two games, the Bears will get the respect they deserve at that point. And right now, it's just too hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know,
you mentioned 3-0 is awesome. So that sits you pretty, sitting pretty for playoffs.
It is awesome, yeah. And at least they'll be competitive for a wild card. So that's
at least
the way things look now. So
yeah.
But did you know? You mentioned the two wins, you know, how improbable they are. Did you know it's the first time a team has ever done that in 1 year?
Yep.
Coming down from 16 in the fourth quarter?
Twice. Is anyone ever done it twice? That's what I mean. Like, I could see why, you know, the Bill Barnwells of the world are like, I don't know if I buy it yet. Because is that fluke or is that this is a tenacious team that doesn't quit? You know, I think you can see it both ways until mm-hmm. you know more. And don't forget, it's a QB-driven league, and so people are still trying to figure out that situation with the Bears. But I think the most interesting thing about the Colts game, if we circle back to it, is I really want to see what Nagy does now with a QB who can run his offense.
Yeah.
The whole time, there's been this asterisk next to Nagy that said something like,
"You're right,
Mitch can't do it," which is bad on Nagy because he is hired to develop the QB, but if it can't be done, it can't be done. And now we get to see if the offense is better than we have seen in the past simply because it's the one he actually wants to run. And I think we'll learn more about Matt Nagy in the next couple weeks as far as the play calling. He's a good leader, but I don't know if I want him calling plays still. But maybe Foles will help us answer that.
Have you listened to Danny Parkins all this week on The Score?
With his Vince McMahon victory gif? That he basically every time I heard him talking, I was like, he's just walking around doing the Vince McMahon strut. A little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
He said that he thinks the Bears offense is the best setup to score points and be a good offense in his lifetime now. That kind of surprised me. It's like, really?
No way.
In your lifetime?
Not that he wasn't a joke of a head coach, but the Trestman team with Cutler, Marshall, Jeffrey, and Still Forte, 1 year anyway, right? That was a pretty darn good offense.
The 06 offense had, like, wasn't that bad either. Yeah.
06 come out and run. Mm-hmm. Though really had huge issues passing. I mean, I think it's one of the better offenses on paper the Bears have had, but that just kind of proves the point that this is a franchise that's always just been so bad on that side of the ball.
But let's say it's true. And theoretically, we're going to have the best Bears offensive play that we've had in a long time.
Okay, we'll just call it 30 years.
Doesn't that mean this is a contender?
Oh, if that's true, yeah. Because now they're doing their part, and the defense doesn't have to be perfect because it's clearly not. But it's still really good, and you'd be a really good team.
But not just they could squeak into the playoffs, and then who knows what happened. No, but I mean, like.
Aren't you the Steelers at that point? Right.
Right.
You've got a functional offense to go with a really good D. Finally, you're the Steelers or something.
Mm-hmm. And how unimpressive has the Bears defense been, or that we've been frustrated with them? And they're number nine. They're ranked number nine in the NFL.
Well, and some of it is garbage yards. And if you're just going by yards.
No, points. Points per game.
Oh, it is points. Okay. Well,
yards, they're 15th, it says.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they'd be worse there. They're really good against the pass. I don't know. The defense thing, this just frustrates me. I can't evaluate it because the NFL decided to quit calling holding.
Uh-huh.
And now that's a big story. 60% less calls, and people are like, this had to be a league mandate that they didn't tell anybody.
Sure seems like it.
Anybody like the Bears who invested big in Khalil Mack, or the Redskins who just invested in the number two draft pick in an edge rusher, should be ticked off that their investment to stop the $35 million QB has just been nerfed by the league. So if you don't have the QB, you build the tackle and you build the end, and now they're not worth spending money on because they just allowed everybody to hold the whole time. Like, it's really BS, man. Like, this isn't a fair equal footing if they keep this up. I think it's a major problem for anyone who tried to prioritize the defense, and that just should not be the case. The rules need to just be the rules, and they're called when they're called, not, hey, tone it down so scoring will go up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be the only one who finds that just blatantly absurd.
I've heard people say, wow, scoring's gone up, but not with that little caveat that you just threw on there. You know?
It's been in the national media a little bit and kind of like all over Twitter the last day or so. So it will be interesting to see what happens the next maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Remember last year they made it a big point of emphasis and then dialed it back.
Mm-hmm.
They're always sort of messing with it, kind of like baseball juicing the ball. But it irritates me. I guess this is the Homer Bears fan, but it's like, yes, watching Khalil Mack get held like crazy and it not get called is pretty much infuriating. But even just from a competitive balance standpoint, I think it's a really shady thing for the league to be doing every year, adjusting what they tell the refs without telling the teams. I mean, that's pretty underhanded.
Yeah. And even Mack has been held ever since he got here, just about every play.
Yeah.
It just didn't matter in 18. He was still...
I mean, joking around with other people, friends and my cousin and other people, it's like, I'd be happy. Just call it once a half when it happens like every play. Like, come on. Like, you got to call it sometime.
Mm.
I don't know if there need to be like degrees of it, but the same thing happened with pass interference in the Green Bay game where they're calling it a lot, and the Saints have always been one of those teams that mugs the receivers a lot. And they got called for it several times. And, you know, that's clever on the Packers' part to recognize it. But if that's a thing too, then a team like the Saints might really struggle because it's part of their defensive DNA to be physical with receivers. It's like the Patriots used to do all the time with, like, Ty Law and all those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they got away with stuff you'd never get away with now, especially in their
It's like hand-checking in Jordan era versus today or something.
Right, yeah.
But it really bugs me that they're changing it every little bit, like every half a year even. It just seems pretty absurd to me.
Yeah, and no more. There was a play in one of the games last week. I can't remember which game. It would make my point so much better here if I could. But it was a prime candidate to get pass interference review. And I thought, huh, well, I can't do that this year. Which overall I like, but at the same time, it's frustrating that it was even messed with as an idea.
Yeah, I mean, had a one-year tryout, and they're like, yeah, forget it.
Yeah.
And then they have New York review stuff. Oh, I'm Al Riveron, right? That whole thing. And it's like, they don't even get it right when they review it sometimes.
Nope.
So it's been a strange year for the officials. I know people down here, just listening to like the radio on my drive, one of the guys they were interviewing, former player, I don't remember who, Bobby Hebert or somebody, let's say.
Oh,
and he was talking, I don't think that was him, but it was a former Saint from back in the day. And he was just like, that was one of the worst officiated games I can ever remember. And I'm thinking, hey, I had one of those this week too. You know, so like, it's not just Bears fans who are like, what's going on here? I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, every fan base sort of thinks that in a sense. They're kind of always suspicious. But
except Green Bay fans.
Pretty egregious. Yeah, that they can't with a straight face actually say that, right?
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts on the Colts this week?
I guess I got to admit, I feel like I don't know that much about them compared to the other teams the Bears have played. Is it because it's out of conference or their games have not been like on TV because they played such mediocre opponents so far that there's just really not a lot of tension on the Colts. So,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like two supposed contenders are playing in this game because it doesn't have much hype.
Yeah, and you know, it's just Rivers being on this team doesn't feel right too. I wonder if that is part of what plays into it. It just doesn't.
Yeah,
feel
well,
like
let's make him Colts suffer for that.
Yes, I like that. I guess I'm banking on the Danny Parkin's theory that the Bears offense is going to come out looking like they haven't, but have been supposed to for the last 3 years because of Nagy's system, and be able to put up some points since we haven't.
And I think ride that momentum that Foles was a shot in the arm. I mean,
yeah.
I guess we should talk about that before we go. Some of the comments by the players and especially
right.
position coaches.
Okay. What do you got?
Did you hear Mike Fury, wide receiver coach? They're asking about the throw to Javon Wims, which is a back shoulder that they finally completed. And he's like, yeah, we can have those in the playbook now, basically.
Oh, I did hear that.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it, but I was like, ooh, that's a coach who doesn't really care what you think about him. And just like some of the other things, like, he comes in, he was confident, and he's a pro. And Al Robinson said he like over-communicates, but that's good because you know what he wants from you. And I'm like, I don't think. Maybe the furry one, but I don't think the other comments are designed to be a shot at Mitch, but it just seems like they recognize this is a different deal now. Like, hey, he's going to lead and we can listen and we need to pay a lot more attention to that, the kind of things he's saying and the playbook opening up. I feel like the players, they definitely know and they like Mitch as a person. They like all went up to him and patted him and all that. Even Mac went over to him, I guess they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So like they get that, but like, it just seemed like, oh, kids, there's an adult in the house now. Let's go. That's kind of what it felt like in that post game. And I'm hoping that does produce some momentum to keep it going against a better opponent than they've played. But we don't know what this Bears team will look like now, so it should be pretty fun.
They could still win this week. And
if Mitch was starting, I would not be picking them to beat the Colts because they'll be too good at disguising coverages and all that stuff. But
right.
For Foles, I think we can beat them.
Yeah, and because it's the first week with Foles, that's another reason that I'm feeling.
Yeah, there may not be good tape on what the Bears are going to do too.
Exactly.
They changed the whole game plan when he came in. They just opened a few routes up. Now there might be a whole different game plan. Watch Nagy throw it like 65 times or something. Mm-hmm.
And how many? He'll be
wouldn't
like,
surprise you, would it?
His eyes will be like, you know, saucers, real big. And like, like my kids playing
out of his mind over there.
You know. Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. You want to not plan or plan on doing a post game, or should we only do a post game if something crazy happens? Like
we crazy. And if it's like a really awesome game or like overtime or something, that's fine too. I mean, we can do one. I guess let's just see how it goes.
All right.
Also, did you hear Nagy chew out the other coaches and the Raiders and all that? Like he said, he didn't really chew them out directly, but he's like, it's not hard to keep your mask on. Nice.
I did not hear
that. I kind of appreciated that.
See, I like him as a person.
So much.
I'm ready to see him hopefully take this next step with his guy and his system. Maybe we do finally see the real Matt Nagy now. Who knows?
Yep. It's going to be fun to see what transpires.
Alrighty. Well, enjoy your Cardinals, my friend. It looks like they will advance if they're, you know, up by four. Are they still up by four right now?
Yeah. Their juju got to work this year with the best two Padres starters being hurt
right
playoffs. But they'll get shut down by a better team and score like two runs in four games. Don't worry, my pain is yet to come. But they always seem to win the first series, so you know, here we are apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Looking like they will again, but they could still lose this game. Who knows?
Well, thanks for jumping on, and we will chat on Sunday during the game, I'm sure, and we'll go from there.
All righty. Thanks,
my friend. Thank you, my friend. Yes.
You suck, Chris.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatball Composer, episode 65. Cooking right along here. As always, thank you, Mark Jansen, for joining me to talk Bears, and especially during a Cardinals game. That's big of you. I am grateful. Having said that, I hope the Cardinals lose and lose bad. Oh, I'm such a good friend. If you want to reach out and let me know what you think of the show, I'd appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at MeatballComp34, or you can send me an email, themeatballcomposer@mail.com. Love to hear from anyone who's listening. Love to hear any feedback or suggestions. And feel free to share with anyone you know that might be interested in listening. So until next time, when there will be more baseball playoff updates and a Bears recap of the game with the Colts and previewing the Buccaneers for next week. Until then, have a good week. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Don't get the Rona.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.